Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
As football fans and historians, we know that you like the rare and hard-to-find gridiron record. How about some odd football fun facts on the perhaps the longest down and distance situations in football history? In this edition, we cover some of those long, impossible distances that NFL quarterbacks and punters had to face, and it's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have an interesting program for you today. We're going to go back through pro football history, especially in the National Football League, and try to uncover the answer to a question of what is the longest down and distance in NFL history. And we have some beauties to discuss with you. Not sure if they're quite in the record books as being the longest, but I can't imagine there being much that are any longer than these situations, probably in all of football. And there have indeed been some teams that really place themselves in some truly impossible situations on offense, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. But first, a few housekeeping mentions that we want to do. First of all, we want to make sure that you know how to become an email subscriber, get a newsletter of what's going on in the Pigskin Dispatch and the Sports Jersey Dispatch, as well as Orville Mulligan and the Sports History Network. Each and every day of the year, you can go to the show notes of this podcast and find the email subscription button there and have the link, and you'll go there and sign up real quick. Two little pieces of information, and you're on your way to be getting that newsletter tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., just like you would every single day of the year in your email inbox. Also, you can go to pigskindispatch.com and go to the email subscription button there up near the top on Pigskin Dispatch's homepage, or you can go to pigskindispatch.com/lowercase letter I, capital U, capital G and get the same spot where you can enter in your information to get that. You can email us and send us your feedback to pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will make sure we get an email right back to you with an answer or at least a thank you for your great feedback that you give us. So let's also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Pigskin Dispatch on both of those. So make sure you can find us there. Now, here are a few of the longest down and distances ever recorded in NFL history. Some truly amazing things that make your jaws drop to the floor as you listen to this. Now, we had a situation happen in November 25th, 2012, where the Baltimore Ravens were really in a tough spot. With just 1:59 to go in the fourth quarter, Baltimore trailed by 3 points on their own 37-yard line to the San Diego Chargers. And punting really wasn't an option. They needed to score because under 2 minutes, you know, 2 minute warning was done. And it was a long situation of having that, fourth down and 29 yards to go. And if they give the ball back to the Chargers, it's going to take a couple knees, and that's going to be all she wrote for the Ravens. Now, you would think that the Ravens offense could draw up something clever in this situation to get a wide out open downfield, but that really wasn't what they did. Quarterback Joe Flacco stepped back, went through his reads real quick, and then dumped off a short pass to running back Ray Rice, who sort of defied gravity and the San Diego defenders on his way to reaching the line to gain, and it kept the Ravens drive alive, and Baltimore ended up kicking a game-tying field goal and then won it in overtime against the Chargers, who really had a a disappointing season that year. They were up in so many games and then would lose them at the end, just like that, with Ray Rice converting a 4th and 29 against Chargers on November 25th, 2012. Another situation, a little bit worse. It involves the Oakland Raiders against the Kansas City Chiefs on a game played on October 13th, 2013. A lot of 13s in there, and not a good situation for the Oakland Raiders. They seem doomed because they face a 3rd and 48 against the Chiefs. You know, every time the Chiefs and Raiders play each other, football fans know there's going to be some excitement. And when the 6-0 Kansas City Chiefs hosted the visiting 2-4 Raiders in the midst of the 2013 season, things got just a little bit weird on that 13th of the month. Now, how'd they get to that point? Well, here's the way that USA.com's article written that day described the sequence. They said, quote, a holding call on first down nullified the play and set up the Raiders with a 1st and 20. On the next play, quarterback Terrell Pryor was sacked for a 12-yard loss. A delay of game on the second down pushed the Raiders back to 2nd and 37, and then Pryor was sacked again, leading to a 3rd and 48 for the Oakland Raiders in that situation. And I'm not sure what the outcome of that was on that third down play, but I do know that the Raiders had their ball on their own 12-yard line starting at midfield, and Kansas City won the contest 24-7 that day to move on to 7-0 in that season. Well, a few seasons before that, as a matter of fact, 3 decades before that, the New England Patriots faced a 4th down and 63 against the Dallas Cowboys on October 24th, 1971. Yeah, I said 4th and 63. Yeah, 2/3 of the field almost. That's quite a distance. And are you kidding me? How do you get to be 63 yards to go? Well, it's truly a bad situation for a team to be in. And here is what happened, according to Yahoo.com's post on a story a few years back, explained the sequence of plays that led to the Patriots' misfortune when visiting Texas Stadium that day. They said, quote, down 27-7 late in the second quarter, Patriots rookie quarterback Jim Plunkett, the number one pick in the draft that spring, got the team going with a 23-yard pass to Randy Vatatha, to the Dallas 38-yard line. But the momentum quickly was stunted, historically stunted. In fact, Plunkett was sacked on the next 3 plays in sequence for losses of 8, 11, and 12 yards, unquote. Now, the worst part is that the Patriots punt on that 4th down and 63 traveled only about 39 yards, and the Cowboys scored just 2 plays later on a short field. The Cowboys end up winning it in a Texas Stadium, 44 New England 21. Many claim that maybe that's the worst situation ever, but we found one that's just a tad bit worse. As a matter of fact, there's many of the Yahoo articles said that that was the worst down and distance ever faced in National Football League, but we found one, just one a little bit worse, and really it's mind-numbingly worse. And it happened just a year prior to that 1971 contest between Dallas and the New England Patriots. This was the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Oakland Raiders October 25th, 1970 game, and the Steelers faced a 4th and 74 yards to go. Pittsburgh Steelers in 1970 had a rookie quarterback named Terry Bradshaw under center when they visited the Raiders for a game on October 25th, 1970. Down late, Bradshaw started to lead the Steelers on a great drive. At least it kind of started off great. The blonde bomber connected on passes to give Pittsburgh 3 quick, badly needed first downs, and then the wheels sort of fell off for the rookie and his offensive teammates. The way it was described in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on October 26, 1970 article went something like this. With 1st and goal from the Raiders 34, Bradshaw took a 13-yard loss on a sack from Klein and Keating of the Black and Silver. On 2nd down, Preston Pearson, who was with the Steelers at that time, mind you, took a short pass for a 12-yard gain. Looked like it was pretty promising. But a Pittsburgh player was caught clipping on the play, and back came with 15 yards of penalties, a walk off against the Steelers. An incomplete pass changed it down again with no gain. Bradshaw then seemingly overcame adversity and threw a touchdown pass that seemed to erase all the memories of those first couple plays, but that was soon called back for offensive holding on the line. And it was now a really bad situation. Next play, it got even worse. There was an intentional grounding call against Pittsburgh, Terry Bradshaw, and then the ball was suddenly back at the Pittsburgh 9. Remember, they started the ball, started at the Raiders' 34-yard line. Now they had the ball on their own 9-yard line. And intentional grounding is a loss of down penalty, and it got from bad to worse. And punter Bobby Walden of Pittsburgh boomed a really large punt, 55-yarder, but still that was almost 20 yards short of the lead stick. And just a bad situation. And the Raiders came off and won that game. I believe it was like 21-13, 21-10, something like that. On that score. So that, I think, has got to be the NFL record, despite what others say about the New England game. October 25th, 1970, 4th and 74, as it is described in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, has got to be the worst I've ever heard of, and probably the worst ever in football history, not let alone the NFL history. If you have one that you think is even worse than that, or have another one you'd like to share with us, you can email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we certainly thank you for joining us here today to talk about some great football history. Well, maybe it's not so great football history, especially if you're a Steelers fan, but just some really interesting records that we found, and I thought it would be fun to share with you on this Football Fun Facts edition of the Pigskin Dispatch. Hope you join us each and every day for more football history. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.